about.
You got to put it in the
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You ever hear of Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
You like them?
I think they're the bomb.
How could you know so many specific details? That is amazing.
Learn how Britney got her $1 million smile.
Oh, I had one retainer. It was really gross because it was one retainer. It was like a one. You know how you have the top retainer and the bottom? But it was one. And you put it in so you really couldn't talk. And it had a key and everything that you put in it to turn it to tighten it every night.
What are you talking about?
This is fun! I think it's gonna work out!
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And now.
Yeah! How you doing, Juicy?
Our feature presentation.
In what world are the words "how you doing, Juicy" ever spoken? Morning, everybody. This is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Thursday, the 20th of March. I start you today with a story of a woman in Florida. Of course, it's Florida.
Yeah.
She wanted a McFlurry. Eric McDonald. She wanted a McFlurry. He said no. I will not buy you a McFlurry. Now, the McFlurries are 99 cents or $1.29 or something like that. They're not really all that expensive. They fought. They yelled. They screamed. She went to the back of the car and found a gas can and doused the car and lit it on fire.
Oh, my God.
That happened. That was a thing that went on.
It would have been. Did she not have a dollar?
I don't know.
Can't you just buy her own McFlurry?
Can't you at some point realize, like, this woman is getting crazier and crazier? I'll get her a McFlurry.
Way too upset.
This is not the end of the world. Maybe she's diabetic or fat.
Right, right. What, or fat.
For whatever reason, he didn't want to get it for her, but get it for her.
She burned his car.
Burned his car.
People
right to the ground.
Be crazy.
People be crazy, especially when it comes to the McFlurry.
Yeah.
So that's our message today. If your girl wants a McFlurry, get it for her, and that way you can keep your car. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We have Seth MacFarlane on the program today.
How cool is that?
Talking about, of course, he's the creator of Family Guy.
Yep.
Talking about Cosmos.
I watched some of that. It's actually, and I'm not a science geek at all, but it's pretty fascinating stuff.
I would guess that's the challenge, is to get people who aren't interested in
Absolutely.
Science or
and
whatever.
He can certainly do that.
And, so we're going to talk to him today. Very excited about that. We have Dr. Drew on the program.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask him about eating clay.
Yes, we are.
Speaking of eating clay, we're going to take your weird beauty tips in the 6 o'clock hour, next hour. Weird beauty tips. Maybe you do it and you've done it for a while. You tell people and they look at you with the stink eye, like, what are you talking about? You might be a little crazy. But it works. That's
I'm
what
sure
we're looking
there's
for.
There's lots of that stuff.
6 o'clock hour weird beauty tips. We also have Cousin Sal talking about March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dominic Monaghan coming in. I don't know if you've seen his show on called Wild Things.
I've heard about it.
With Dominic Monaghan. He, of course, you know from Lost. Yeah, it's he looks for the most dangerous animals on the planet. So he'll get 15 feet from a snake that could kill him in 10 seconds and say, let's go in for a closer look. I don't know why that's the accent for Dominic Monaghan, but
it's not.
It's all I came out with.
Death Wish is what the show should be called.
It's awesome. It's really fun to watch. Brand new internet roundup today.
Mm-hmm.
And David Koechner is in, starring in a new bizarre movie called Cheap Thrills.
We love him.
Which is great. Yeah, we do love him. He's champ kind, is it?
I think so.
From Anchorman.
Yeah.
So he's going to come in. We're going to talk Cheap Thrills. We'll also give you some tickets for Coachella, as we do every day at 9 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. 3-day passes. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. I had to figure that
That's
out.
That's what you say.
Clocks are all screwed up.
I say 5:53, man.
All right.
I don't live in the past. I'm living in the now.
I can go with that. 5:53.
All right, good man.
Ralph's here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Last Friday, InTouch Weekly Magazine posted a story about Linda Lohan. leaving behind at a Beverly Hills hotel a handwritten list of her former lovers, trying to list out all the famous Wang she had enjoyed in her life.
Right.
Left it behind, became a big deal. Someone took a picture, sent it in Touch Weekly. They posted it, but some of the names were blurred out. But now, In Touch has revealed 12 more of the names on this. This is great. They're doing it in installments.
I like it.
It's like a series. You don't want to miss it. It's like Downton Abbey. Here are some of the names. Of course, we've already established Heath Ledger, James Franco, Adam Levine, Zac Efron, Justin Timberlake, Colin Farrell, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jamie Dornan, amongst others. Now, the new members of the Lindsay list. Ashton Kutcher. Boom.
Oh, boom. Boom. Really?
No surprise there. Ryan Phillippe. Stavros Niarchos.
Who's that?
Stavros Niarchos is an heir to a multi-million dollar shipping fortune. His father's a Greek tycoon who...
Was he like a Paris Hilton boyfriend?
He was Paris Hilton boyfriend. Okay. Yeah, good for you, Kevin. Stunned. That's nuts. You. Well, come on. I have to introduce myself to you almost every morning. How do you pull Stavros Niarchos used to date Paris Hilton out of your butt?
I don't know, but that is where it came from.
New York Rangers player Aaron Voros. Okay. So apparently she likes the NHL as well. She got 2 minutes for high sticking, I think, from him. Orlando Bloom. He gets around that for a...
Yes, he does.
Yep. Excuse me. For a young lady, he really gets around. Petey...
What's happening?
Sorry. I have some of Lisa's coconut oil in my throat.
I'm telling you, stay away from that stuff.
Fashion model Petey Wright. English rugby player Danny Cipriani. And, for the creepy factor, Benicio Del Toro.
Ooh.
Really?
She likes him a little dirty.
Yeah. I would not want to be the housekeeping crew that had to go into the hotel room after they were finished.
Just burn it to the ground.
Well, let's just... Just shred these sheets. They're useless. So there you go. Here's your latest Lindsay Lohan update. I think we're still 12 shy. I think we still have another installment to come. So look forward to more names.
Hopefully we'll get that tomorrow.
Yeah. Good news for you, Kevin.
Yep.
Your girl, Maggie Q, is working again.
Awesome.
She, of course, was the star of Nikita.
I love her and she loves me.
She's great. And one of the few female actresses, well, I guess an actress infers.
Female.
Who can really believably kick ass.
Can we get you some water?
I got some coffee. Let me take a sip here.
All right. You also have a cough button up there.
Why hide the truth from the people, Kevin?
I'm just saying.
What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of, Kevin? What are you hiding?
I'm afraid of flying phlegm.
Well, it's not going to stop flying if I hit the cough button. It's still going to fly. My people come to me for the truth. They don't want some highly polished Ryan Seacrest version of reality.
Oh, I don't think anyone's coming here for...
This is real, man.
Highly polished.
This is real.
All right.
That just happened. She is co-starring with Dylan McDermott in a new CBS pilot about LAPD detectives from the department's threat assessment unit who handle stalker cases. No word on the show's title yet, but it sounds cool already. I'm in.
She's awesome.
Speaking of television... NBC's renewed 3 shows for next year. They announced who's coming back. Chicago Fire and Chicago PD are both coming back.
All right.
Good news for Chicago. Grimm will return. This is added to the list of shows the network's already announced they've picked up, including a second season of Blacklist. Oh, I love it.
That is good.
Parks and Rec, another season of The Voice, and Celebrity Apprentice. Well, they can't all be winners. Did you know that Gisele Bündchen... And Tom Brady live here in Los Angeles?
No.
Nope.
I didn't either.
I thought they lived in New York or Boston area or something.
Look, I'm sure with their kind of coin, they probably have houses in almost every major metropolitan city. But I had no idea they had lived here.
Huh.
But they did. But now they're selling their home in Brentwood.
How much?
Well, why are you going right to the price tag?
Well,
man?
I think that's the most important
value?
Part.
Let's talk about the home.
All right.
I'll give you all the amenities, and then you tell me what you'll pay for it.
Okay. I'm ready.
Maybe you're a realtor for a second here. It is a 14,300-square-foot place, 5 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, a home gym, an oak-paneled library, solar panels, an infinity pool, a waterfall, a moat... filled with koi, 4 acres of land, And, wait for it, a chicken coop.
Oh, wow. Now
well,
I'm in.
You throw in the chicken
coop. That's what I'm saying. That's cool. That's the closure,
eggs,
right?
Guys.
Did you say Brentwood?
Yeah.
4 acres?
4 acres in Brentwood.
Wow. I'm going to guess.
If you're on the fence and you don't know whether to sign the papers or not, if I say chicken coop.
Right.
Then you're like, well.
Come on.
I'll put you right over the top.
What do you think? Oh, what's it going for? What's your offer? What do you got?
In this market,
4 acres, Brentwood, library. Hey, did I mention chicken coop?
Well, hang on. Then.
And solar
everything.
Panels. There's a solar-powered chicken coop somewhere on that property.
Wow.
$7.5 million.
$7.5 million.
That's my
guess. How about $50 million?
Wow.
No.
All yours for the low, low price.
Really?
Yeah.
That
wow.
Seems...
Does she come with the house?
No.
For that money?
No, it's just the moat.
Wow.
Moat with the koi fish and the chicken coop.
The fish are very expensive, those koi.
Koi, yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
You know. And the upkeep, too.
And the chicken coop.
And the chicken coop. And a waterfall.
Great chickens.
Wow. I would put the chickens in the waterfall and the moat. I wouldn't want to see swimming chickens around my house.
Isn't it funny that there are people today who will look at that and consider it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know what I mean? Like, we go $50 million, that's ridiculous.
There's
no one could
someone
ever...
as we speak who's scheduling an open house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether to get this $50 million house or this one. Maybe I'll get both.
If I had won the Mega Millions yesterday.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday, whenever the drawing was, I would not spend $50 million on a house.
When I win $1 billion for my March Madness bracket.
Oh, right. I forgot you were going to win that.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and snap that right
You're
now.
You're going to snap it up?
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's still in the market because, you know, it's a seller's market right now. Those $50 million houses, they're flying off the shelves.
$50 million.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Director Spike Lee, 57 years old today. He's got to be a happy boy this week.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Diehard New York Knicks fan. The news that Phil...
Yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah, that's great.
Going to be working in the front office for that organization.
I wish the Lakers could get a guy like that.
Nah, he'd never work for the
That'd
Lakers.
Be cool.
They had their shot, man.
I know.
They blew it. They blew it. By the way,
is he still dating
Jeannie Buss? Yeah, they're still a couple.
How much of an end do you need?
They're going to be in the same position in the NBA, across the country from each other, battling it out.
That is weird.
It's a sitcom in the making,
that
right there.
That is weird.
By the way, I believe my friends over there at ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
Steve Mason and I don't know who he does the show with there.
Hartman.
John Ireland, I think he does the show with. They're having Jeannie on today, apparently. Big interview around noon.
Meaning we've hired a coach, maybe?
No, I think they're just going to talk to Jeannie about the situation in the Lakers and the abysmal season they're having.
Lost last night again. Come on, losing.
Lost 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
So they opened it up there on their Twitter feed. What questions do you want to ask Jeannie Buss? So I, being an Angelino who wants to know the truth,
right.
I said, ask her how hung Phil is. And they rejected me.
Really?
What?
They said, oh, we're not asking. That's inappropriate.
I think that's inappropriate. He's a big guy. I'd like to
know,
too.
That's what I'm saying, Lisa.
Does it all match?
Look, basketball, schmasketball.
Yeah. Right.
What's he packing?
What's he got going
that's
on in
the,
there?
That's what the people want to know.
Oh, damn.
Man, when you run things, everything's going to be different.
That's why they're stuck on AM, man. Holly Hunter's 56 years old today. Michael Rapaport is 44. Chester Bennington. How much do we love Chester?
It's the best.
He's one of the good guys. He, of course, of Linkin Park, 38 years old today. God damn it, Dave.
Now what? Another Clipper?
LA Clippers guard Jamal Crawford celebrates his birthday today. 34 years old. Can we leave the Clippers off the celebrity birthday list, Dave? Dave, do we need Clippers?
No way. Sixth man of the year. He's the man.
I know, Dave, but this
get
is...
Get well soon, Jamal.
This is...
What's happening?
Doing shout-outs to the Clippers now? It's the celebrity birthdays. It's not the Clipper birthday.
He's a celebrity in Los Angeles.
And guitarist Nick Wheeler of All American Rejects is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph did a story in the showbiz
about
crazy people and the way they like to look beautiful.
Look, I don't know if she's crazy or not because I talked about Shailene Woodley yesterday. Star of Divergent is coming out this weekend. And they did an interview with her about her beauty tips. And she had a three-tiered recommendation. One, eat clay. Because that takes heavy metals out of your body. Two, brush your teeth with oil.
It's coconut oil, I think.
Coconut oil, yeah.
Oh, like it matters. Motor oil, it doesn't make it.
Because that, plaque, she says, is fat soluble, not water soluble, so that will whiten and clean your teeth better than water will. And then lastly, make sure you get an hour of sunshine on your vagina every day. And I mocked her, and then I got a ton of emails from people
yeah.
who say, I eat clay. Clay is the best.
What? And,
I did some research.
Here's an article about oil. Brush your teeth with oil. Maybe there's something to all this insanity.
What?
I don't know. I mocked, but I could have been too early.
Did you get the one saying the sunshine in the vagina, though? That's crazy.
I haven't
crazy.
Met anyone yet who okay. sunbathes.
No.
Spread eagle yet.
No. That's crazy.
But that's my favorite one of the three. I would go for the third. I would say, okay, yes, I see that. More than I would eating clay and brushing your teeth with motor oil.
It seems like each group of Americans and their past, they come up with some crazy ideas for beauty tips. What to use. For example, eating clay. To me, yesterday, that sounded one step away from eating paste.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's insane.
But people told me it's not the clay you're thinking of, like you make pots out of. It's a special kind of clay that they feed dogs that apparently it's.
And that good. Helps?
I guess. Well, if a dog's eaten, like, maybe some medicine or something that it shouldn't have, or they actually, I read an article that said, like, over 200 different groups of people around the world eat clay regularly.
Well, Lisa,
not a lot. It's like a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon.
There's a bunch of effed up people around the world who eat all kinds of things. I'm not using that as my decision-making
right.
process. I know people drink snake blood, too. It doesn't mean that I'm going to do it or that it works,
No, but there may
you.
Be a reason why worldwide this is happening.
A lot of people eat clay around the world, Lisa, because that's all they have to eat every day. If you tell, in Ethiopia, they eat clay all the time. Yes, because they're starving. I have McDonald's. I'm an American. I don't have to eat clay.
She says clay provides a negative charge, so it bonds to the negative isotopes.
Sure, you don't want those negative isotopes floating around your body.
Now, I'm not exactly sure what any of that means.
I don't think she is either, by the way.
We're going to take your beauty tips, especially if they're a little weird. If you've gotten a look when you tell people, this is what I do, this is my beauty tip.
And nothing personal, ladies, you know I love you, but women will do almost anything if there's the potential that it's going to help them, A, look younger, B, look thinner, C, look better. Sometimes it's a desperation factor where they'll say, okay, I'll try anything.
Right.
There's what? Placenta in this cream?
Oh,
give
yes.
Give it to me.
Give me that. Yeah. What, it's made from grapefruit and rat seed? Okay, then just slather it on.
Everybody's looking for stuff you can put on your skin to make you look younger.
Of course. Yeah.
That's a big deal. I don't know if clay works for that or you just have to eat it.
Well, with the negative isotopes taken out of your body, your skin probably automatically looks better, I think.
I've not heard of negative isotopes, but that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Playing the truth next weekend. Negative isotopes are good.
So 1-800-520-1067. If you have weird beauty tips, perhaps it's been passed down from family members and you do it, but when you tell people, they look at you like you might be a little bit crazy.
Tell the good people, Kevin, where Shailene Woodley got her information about eating clay.
She was taking a cab ride and she was talking to her cab driver who was from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you should eat clay.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, I'll try it.
She said, game on.
And then she gave everybody advice. When you're taking a cab drive, ask the cab driver where they're from and what their customs are, because you might learn something.
Uh-huh. Unless he's a Rastafarian from Jamaica, I'm not taking any advice on what to do to make myself feel better.
But that's how she found every one of these different things she found out from different sources. But it is funny that you don't, like you're willing to change your diet and eat clay based on one dude
yeah.
that you don't know.
He must have been a great-looking cab driver. She must have looked in the rearview mirror at him and said, oh, your skin is positively glowing. What's your secret, cabbie? He said, in click language, which means eat clay.
Eat clay.
Look, he's African. Of course he's eating clay. That's all they have.
But brushing your teeth with oil, that seems nasty.
Now, again, I'd look that up after I got this email. Someone sent me a link to a story, and they say there's actually something to it, that the coconut oil, for some reason, they call it oil pulling. That's the official name of the process. That it draws the discoloration and the plaque off your teeth because of the nature of this oil, this coconut oil. So, look, just because it's new and we haven't heard of it before doesn't mean it doesn't work.
It's only stupid if it doesn't work.
I'm just surprised that we've had, I don't know, how many million years of humanity's lived on this planet, and they're just discovering now that coconut oil is good for your teeth. I would think a dentist would have found out in 1915 if that was the case.
Yeah, but they don't want you to know because it puts them out of business.
That's right, man. As Kevin Trudeau said, it's the dental secrets they don't want you to know.
So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with Rocky. Hi, Rocky.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Weird, hey, Rocky. Weird beauty tip. What do you got?
I use apple cider vinegar on my face every night.
Okay.
Apple cider
vinegar. Toner?
What does it do to you?
That sounds painful.
Well, after I cleanse my face, mm-hmm. I'll put it on. It kind of helps to balance your pH levels, but you have to be careful to make sure your face is completely dry.
Sure.
Because if it comes in contact with any moisture, it'll stink.
Stink or sting?
Sting.
Both.
If you walk around smelling like coleslaw all day, then there's water on your face.
And where did you get this beautiful piece of information?
Well, I kind of figured it out in chemistry class.
All right. That's good enough for me.
Rocky's a beauty genius.
And then I'll just lather, like, petroleum jelly all over my face.
Of course you will.
Right.
Okay, no, there's nothing natural. You know, it's petroleum jelly. You'd be better off putting coconut oil
Stick
on your
face.
Face
in an oil rig.
I like it.
I've done that too.
Yes, you've done everything.
You are the Thomas Edison of beauty. You're just experimenting and coming up with new inventions. How's your face
coconut
look?
Coconut oil on everything. I put it in my hair. I like put it on my
A lot of
my
people
elbow.
Do.
Yeah.
Is that right?
What? Wait, coconut oil everywhere, Rocky?
Well, not everywhere.
All right. I think you're missing out.
Right. That part of your body needs some oil.
If any place would enjoy oil, it's probably that part of your body. Just don't get the bottles mixed up and put vinegar there. You'll never stop screaming.
Thank you for the call, Rocky. We appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. Bye. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you. We are talking about strange beauty secrets, strange beauty tips, based on the fact that you should eat clay.
Yep.
And sunshine in your vagina.
And brush your teeth with coconut oil.
And man, do we have a lot of people on hold.
Price beauty. What people will do if they think it'll help even a little bit.
Here's what I found out. Beauty equals pain, Ralph.
Well, sure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Let's start.
Not pretty.
Let's start with Lauren. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. What beauty tip do you have?
Snail slime.
I'm sorry. I thought you said snail slime. But that can't
That's
be right.
What I said.
Snail slime.
What, do you get snails climbing all over your face?
I want to try that, but what I do use is a soap. It's magical.
A soap made out of snail slime. You purchased this somewhere?
Yes, I do. It's like a little Chinese store.
Wait, did you say you wanted to try the snails on your face?
It's actually more like potent if you use snail slime live.
Sure.
I would like to send Beer Mug over with a video camera.
Oh, God.
And some snails.
So you use snail slime soap on your face, and what are the results?
It acts more like a lube to your skin.
Lube for your skin. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you trying to stick your face into that you need it lubricated?
I mean.
It's like it moisturizes? Is that what you're saying?
It's like a moisturizer, and it also exfoliates.
All right, where did you find out about snail slime?
In downtown LA.
Mm-hmm.
From a cab driver?
Like in a little Chinese store, hey, snail slime. And the girl's like, it's really good for your skin, so I tried it.
That's so funny. You don't know that woman.
You don't know if that's really snail slime either.
Right.
And you don't know how hard she was laughing after you bought a bar of snail slime soap.
Did you hear what I told that girl? I told her
snail. We sold one. Can you believe it? I told you we could.
Thank you for the call, Lauren.
Thank you.
Good luck to you and your snail slime.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's go to Favela. Favela? Fabiola?
Oh, no. Yes, Fabiola.
Fabiola. Sorry. What is your beauty tip, your secret?
Okay, so my coworker, she has the most beautiful smooth skin, and I asked her once, she's older too, she's like around 60.
Wow.
So I asked her once, hey, why is your skin so soft, lady? You really don't have wrinkles, any pores, anything. So she told me how when she was younger, her grandma told her that on the first day of her menstrual cycle to get her period blood, and she put it all over her face.
All righty then.
Wow.
Good morning.
Wow.
blood.
Yeah, but it can only be on the first day because
of
that's
course.
Supposed to be the day when your blood is expelled.
No, we don't. It's
we were talking to her and then...
That went south so fast!
I don't want to talk about that anymore. Thank you.
Nope. It's got to be the first day because that's when all the magic happens.
Good luck with that. Let's talk to Mike about his beauty tip. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank
you. Glad we got a guy on here, a man who looks after his appearance. Mike, how do you make yourself look better?
Absolutely. Yeah, so when I was in high school and I had a little bit of acne, what I would do is if I had those big red zits that you can see from a mile away,
right.
If you pop it and you get the hole, you got to pour Visine into it because Visine gets the red out. And if you have those zits...
Visine gets the red out is talking about your eyes.
You got to get the red out, and it works. And if you have a zit that
I can't listen to that anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know it's so
right?
gross.
I'm
but
sorry.
That's weird.
Beauty is gross. We're finding out. but that makes sense to me because Visine, I guess, what it does is it collapses
constricts,
the blood vessels,
yes.
constricts the blood vessels, right, to take the redness out of your eyes.
Oh, I see. So maybe
it would make sense that if it did it on your skin too, that the redness, which is blood, you know, would leave your skin. So
is it okay
sense.
If I get a second opinion on that?
Sure.
Okay. Good. All
Look,
right.
compared to what the other girl was slathering on her face.
Yeah. True.
Visine is a welcome relief.
Hi, Nick. Nick. Hello.
Got the money.
Nope.
That's
just
a bad impression, sir.
That is a faker, and it's not good. We like the real guy. William, hi.
Hey, what's up, DJ?
Hi.
Hi, William.
I guess you could call us DJs.
Yes.
Sure.
what's your beauty tip?
Yeah, I know how to have a better nipple.
How to have a better nipple.
All right, hold
Did
on.
Did you have bad nipples?
Before he tells us, I want to take bets on whether we think he knows how to have better nipples.
Are your nipples subpar, sir?
No.
Not now. Sure, for whatever you're doing. What do you do for your better nipples?
You put tape on top of your nipple, and then you just rip them out really fast, mm-hmm. and they give you some, like a redder, whiter look.
Oh, a nice puffier nipple.
Pink. Let's go with pink.
Pink.
Yeah.
All right.
Pinker. It gives a pinker nipple.
Sure.
I didn't know that men would be concerned with the color of their nipples.
Well,
William, what about that? Why do you need better nipples?
I did it for the hair removal. And also works for
hair removal.
It for girls as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, so tape.
All
okay.
Right. Well, good luck with your nipples, William.
Weirdest phone call.
I've never hated our listeners more.
I love them. This is awesome that people are actually doing all this. Anthony, hi.
Hello?
Hey,
hi,
Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
No,
beauty
no,
tips.
My name is Eddie.
Oh, Eddie.
All right, Eddie.
All right,
Eddie.
It's all right. So my girl used to get fever blisters on her lips.
Right.
Sure.
And she used to get them bad. And a couple years back, we were at the supermarket, and this lady walks up to her and tells her, you know, if you heat an owl plant, so as hot as you can take it, and then put it on your lip for about 10 to 15 minutes, it'll take it away.
You're talking about aloe vera?
Yeah, an aloe plant.
Right.
So you cut off the leaf of that, and you get the aloe vera juice, I guess, whatever, and you heat it up as hot as you can take it and put it on your lip.
Yes.
All right. And?
She did that, and it stunk so bad.
Ew.
And she would try to get near me and then try to kiss me.
Ew.
With all that.
Did it work?
All that.
Did it work?
2 years later, she hasn't had one since.
You mean it worked forever?
No, she put one on one spot?
You cured herpes!
No. I don't know if it's cured forever, but it hasn't
Has
come,
it come back,
back in 2 years.
Did it help the outbreak she was suffering from at the moment?
She said it soothed it, but it didn't, like, heal it right.
I know they use aloe vera for, like, sunburn and stuff like that. That's a normal...
People drink it. They drink aloe vera juice.
They do?
Yeah, they say it works wonders.
And let's end with Danielle. Hi there.
Hi.
Your friend's grandpa has a beauty tip?
Grandmother. My friend's grandmother used to wash her face with her first pee in the morning.
Really?
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she would get up and she would pee on instead of toilet. She'd put on the towel and wash her face with it.
Okay.
There's no level.
What does she look like?
Old and wrinkly.
Awesome skin.
Awesome
I will give her
skin.
That, but it was not something I was willing to try.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wait, you want awesome skin, don't you?
Not that bad.
Get to peeing.
She looks great. She smells not so good.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around.
Ooh. Ooh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55, coming up just after the top of the hour, brand new internet roundup. Then Dominic Monaghan talking about Wild Things, his TV show, which is crazy. It's basically the most dangerous animals on the world that he's just messing around with.
Yeah,
he's either
insane.
Very brave or very dumb.
Yeah, that's a fine line.
It sure is.
Sometimes you're both.
I wouldn't do that for a TV show. I don't know what they're paying him, but I hope it's a lot.
He seems to really love it.
Yeah, he does seem to
like he would do it for free. So we'll talk to him coming up in the next hour as well. Right now it is time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
This Frozen thing's just out of control. This Frozen. We live in a Frozen world. It's just Frozen mania.
What's out of control about that?
Tuesday. I'm sorry. Tuesday, the DVD went on sale. You know, huge hit at the box office. Then on DVD, it would was released on Tuesday. It sold 3.2 million copies.
Wow. In the first day, did you say?
First day. Also the fastest selling digital release of all time. So if you go to download it or watch it on Netflix or whatever, it was available also on Tuesday as a digital format. It is the biggest selling digital download for a feature film of all time.
Is that because the theme song was done by
Adele Dazeem?
Adele Dazeem. We live in Adele Dazeem fever is sweeping the nation. The movie soundtrack hit number one on the Billboard charts this week.
Wow.
Selling more than 1.4 million units. It's also been streamed over 100 million times on Spotify.
Wow.
It is a phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
So, if you're not on the Frozen bandwagon.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm jumping on right now.
I missed it, too.
I have not seen it.
I'm thinking maybe this will be Olivia's first feature film. Maybe I'll tell you. I don't even know if it's in theaters anymore. It's probably not in theaters anymore.
I bet it is.
If it's on DVD, you think?
I don't know.
Maybe one of the second run theaters I can find it or something. But everyone's raving about it, saying how good it is.
Olivia would like 300, Rise of an Empire.
You think?
Yeah.
Or maybe Need for Speed?
Yeah, sure.
I think The Voice is quickly becoming the only singing competition show of merit on television.
Is that right?
It seems to be the only one anyone really is talking about anymore. American Idol is just passé.
Is that
seems
going?
To be dying on the vine. Well, it's still going, but no one, you know.
It's less and less ratings
every time it airs.
Do you think it's because they cracked the code of having the coaches and the singers and them working together and all that?
I do. I also think they get better people on that show. Sort of, it's a hipper, cooler vibe. You got Carson, first of all, hosting.
Sure.
Which is an upgrade in host considerably.
Big time.
American Idol.
Right.
And then you've got CeeLo and Christina Aguilera, and you've got Adam Levine. It's a cooler bunch of judges who really seem to like each other and have a good time.
Blake Shelton is
the fourth, yeah. And now they've just announced that Coldplay frontman Chris Martin will be joining the show.
Really?
Yes, he is going to be the universal advisor, which sounds like someone you audit with at a Scientology center.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
But the universal advisor will work for all four coaches when they pick their team of singers, and he will help them develop their talents. The singers still left in the competition after Chris works with them will do the same song in what they're calling a sudden death match. See, that's why The Voice is cool, because people die on it.
If people died, I would watch.
People will sing the other people to death. This all begins on March the 31st, and Chris will appear on that episode of The Voice, along with the April 1st and April 7th show. So if you're a Chris Martin Coldplay fan, he'll be on that show. I guess it's good for Coldplay, too, to talk about their new work.
Sure.
I'm sure they'll be performing at some point, but pretty cool. And Starbucks has announced it will sell a new chai tea named after Oprah Winfrey. Give me a big venti Oprah, please. It's the only size Oprah comes in, by the way, is venti. Can't get the small Oprah. It's not available. I don't get it. What's the connection between Oprah and chai tea? Is that one of her favorite things? Or
who knows?
Probably.
Probably a safe bet.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Spike Lee is 57 years old today. Actress Holly Hunter turns 56. Actor Michael Rapaport. 44 years old. Chester Bennington of Linkin Park is 38. L.A. Clippers guard Jamal Crawford is 34. Dave's making me say that.
Yeah, I know.
And Nick Wheeler from All American Rejects celebrates his 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dominic Monaghan joins us now in the studio. Hi, Dominic. How are you?
What is up?
We haven't had you in the studio, I don't think, in a long time.
I didn't.
Maybe since Lost?
Yeah.
Tell me about Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. Was this your idea?
Yeah, Wild Things is my attempt to change people's attitude about animals that most people are scared of. So,
but wait, let me just stop you right there. Shouldn't most people be scared of these animals?
Well, I don't know what fear really does in those scenarios. I mean, obviously...
It helps you run away.
Yeah, but you don't really need to run away from a lot of those animals. I mean, obviously avoiding their strike range and stuff like that is important. But, you know, some of these animals, the more ignored, the more vilified ones, your snakes, your spiders, your scorpions... bees and ants and wasps and things like that. You can spend a significant amount of time being relatively close to them and you're safe. So what I try and hope to do on the show is show people that with a little bit of respect, you can get close to them. Not only that, but even though these animals are dangerous and can significantly hurt you, it doesn't make them any less interesting or important.
No, but it makes me want to not be close to them.
Yeah, maybe you. I mean, I don't feel that way.
Did you grow up loving this kind of stuff?
I did grow up.
I mean, you know, with a fascination of animals.
And- yeah. My dad was a biology teacher, so we kept like lizards and snakes and tortoises and different types of insects in the house. And then I got very into insects when I was about 12 or 13, and that was a big kind of obsession of mine. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the way that I holiday, you know. I mean, if I'm free and I'm not going away with someone, I'll usually pick an animal around the world somewhere that I want to go and see, and then I'll get lost doing it and then end up trying to have that experience. So after,
but you did that before the show.
Yeah, I did that before the show, which was essentially the way that I sold the show. You know, I would sit down with people and say, look, this is how I holiday. You know, I'll land in a capital city. I'll ask a lot of questions. I'll move further down the coast and have interactions with animals along the way, take photographs, eat crazy food. And one of the producers that I talked to was crazy enough to say, let's try it. And then I think like 6 weeks later, we were in Ecuador looking for army ants, and it became the show.
What were some of the animals that you came across last season? Because season two starts this coming Tuesday.
Yeah. So last season, we did army ants in Ecuador. We did the world's largest.
Okay, take it slowly. Army ants.
Army ants.
There's a lot of them, or what's the...
Yeah, ants are probably my favorite animal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've never heard that sentence before.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, ants are pretty incredible. Ants, for me, the most fascinating species of animal on the planet. I mean, they live in highly condensed numbers. They produce no carbon footprint. There's no rape. There's no murder. They take care of their kids.
Don't they eat the head of the queen or something? Isn't that nonsense like that?
Well, I mean, when they get a new...
That seems bad.
When they get a new queen, they will kind of, you know, oust that queen. And kill that queen.
Right.
But, I mean, it's no worse than we do in human society. And also, that's to bring in the new... You know, they're thinking about the greater good. That's to, you know, bring in the changes, essentially. So that's...
Do the army ants sting or bite?
Yeah, the army ants do both.
Both.
And my initial pitch was I wanted to lie down on the ground and see what it felt like to be taken over by army ants, but the producers wouldn't let me do that. So
I mean, aren't those the ants that can devour a cow?
Yeah, they'll strip a cow, yeah.
I wonder why the producer said no.
Over the course of a few days.
This was the first episode? Yeah,
that was the first episode. So I mean, I ended up putting my hands into a bunch.
And how was that?
It was super painful. It was like being stung by a bunch of wasps. Wow. But I wanted to show that, like, it hurts, but it's not going to kill you, you know. So,
Don't lay on the ground for 10 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you had, you know, two broken legs and you were unconscious, they could easily kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, so that
one. Army ants in Ecuador, right, second episode was the giant scolopendra, which is a massive centipede in Venezuela. So,
how big?
It was probably 2 feet, something like
that. A centipede that's 2 feet.
Wow.
It's a big animal.
And can it kill you?
Probably couldn't kill you, but it's one of the last invertebrates you want to get bitten by. They have a flesh-melting venom. So they'll, like, you know, slough away the skin on your body where they bite you, and they're aggressive, and they're...
Did you have that crawling on you?
I've had a few scolopendras crawling on me, but not that one, because that was super gnarly, very wild. And their legs kind of form points at the end, so they kind of stab into you.
Oh, my God.
Venezuela was a trip as well. I mean, I've been to South America a few times. I've been to Argentina and Peru and places like that. But Venezuela was a little touch and go. You needed cash in your pocket.
Oh, really?
Well, you just needed cash in your pocket because people would be, you know, people would just be like...
Shake you down?
Yeah, you know, there's a roadblock.
So wasn't it the animals?
Okay. No, it wasn't.
Or the insects that was the problem.
Oh, they'd say there's a roadblock, and you'd hand them 100 and go, is there a roadblock now?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
All that kind of stuff. And our guides, you know, we'd say, can we get into this cave? And they'd say, yeah. And then when we'd get there, they'd go, you can get in, but we need $40. You'd be like, we just paid you, bastards.
Oh, wow.
So there was a lot of that stuff going on. And then we went to Cameroon. okay. to find the world's largest beetle, the giant Goliath beetle.
And again, how big is that?
That's probably, what, 10 centimeters, something like that? I mean, you know, 5 or 6 inches. No, maybe 7 or 8 inches.
Can they hurt you or are they just gross?
No, they have like hooks on the end of their feet that can grab hold of you. So they can't hurt you per se, but they're extremely valuable on the black market. And I wanted to tell a story because they're rare and they're beautiful. And I wanted to tell a story of, you know, their beauty being much more profound in the wild than on a pin.
Leave them out there.
Yeah, the black market is destroying a lot of different animals.
Yeah, it really is. And Cameroon blew me away, you know. I mean, the kids of Cameroon, the people, Africa. It was the first time I'd ever spent some real significant time in Africa. It's just an incredible continent with really, you know, ingenious people that, you know, approach problems without any, you know, ego. You know, they're not like, oh, we don't have what you guys have and that's a bummer and you need to come help us. They're like, yeah, we don't really have that, so we're just going to work it out for ourselves.
We're fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very resourceful country, and the kids just, you know, that was my abiding memory of season one, was the kids of Cameroon. They just, every time we finished filming, there would be a kid at your feet asking you to pick them up, and you just pick them up and then you'd talk, and then they'd be like, okay, we're going to do a scene again, and you put the kid down. They all speak English, obviously. And the kid's like, no, let me do this scene.
What you don't understand is that picking up a kid means that you have adopted them.
A little bit. You know. They're starved of adult attention because their parents, unfortunately, are out, you know, before sunrise and come back before sunset because they're working so hard. So these little, you know, 2-3-year-old kids are just walking around all day, parentless. And when they see an adult that wants to give them affection, they're like, yeah.
Now, can they bite or sting you?
They can definitely bite you.
They can break your heart, Kevin.
Yeah. What other animals last?
What else do we do? So we did the world's most dangerous scorpion in Namibia. We did...
What makes it the world's most dangerous?
The venom is just really potent, and they can administer a lot. And they're extremely aggressive.
Oh, wow.
And if they get the chance to get anywhere near you and sting you, they will do it.
And how long before you die?
I mean, if you didn't seek medical attention, you could be dead within the hour.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're out there, though, is medical attention anywhere near?
We were probably about 40 minutes to an hour from a hospital.
Good timing.
Prevention is the best cure. You
know? Right. What other animal?
What else did we do? I'm trying to wrap my brains on season one.
How many of season two episodes have you done?
We've done 10.
Oh, 10. All right.
So season two, in terms of countries, was...
Tell us about the first episode, Tuesday, and then we'll ask you some more about the future episodes. The
first episode is Kenya. We go to Kenya to look for the world's largest spitting cobra.
Spitting cobra?
Yeah, it's called the giant spitting cobra.
Okay, that would scare me, so, I think.
And it spits its venom at you?
Yeah, it can do both. It can bite and spit.
So it doesn't have to actually make contact. It can literally, wow.
You just need to be in its close proximity.
And how far can they spit?
They can spit pretty far. So they're like, it's like an 8-foot snake, so they can probably spit a good 5 or 6 feet.
That's a good spit.
And they'll spit in a figure of 8, so they'll make sure that they hit you, and they look at the glint in your eye, and that's their target. So instead of spitting and trying to get you, they'll actually do a figure of 8, which means at some point in that figure of 8, it's going to get you. And the venom comes out as an oil, but then immediately dries as a salt. And if it dries as a salt on your eye, you can get permanently blind within less than 5 minutes.
And how close to that were you?
I held it.
I hope you had your eyes closed.
I was wearing goggles, which was definitely helpful. But when they spit, it's a really interesting thing. I've been spat in the face a lot, obviously.
Sure.
And anytime someone spits at you, you have to do this. You don't have any other choice.
You have to jerk away. Yeah.
But the snake knows that. The snake knows that that's the reaction.
Takes that into account.
So as you do that, the snake then tries to move forward and bite you. So when you do that, you have to keep the snake at arm's length because it goes for
Okay, they're too smart.
Very smart. Snakes are really smart animals, especially the elapids, the cobras, and certainly some vipers.
Wow.
They're working you out. I mean, you'll watch cobras, mambas, and there's a snake from Australia called the king brown snake, which is a really big elapid. And they'll you'll see them trying to work stuff out. Like, okay, I can't go left. Can I go right? No, I can't go right. Can I go forward? No. Okay, should I bite this guy and then go forward? You can see them, like, doing maths in their head. So we did Kenyon for the first episode.
All right, hold that thought. We need to take a break. Dominic Monaghan is here. The show is Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan, and it comebacks. Season 2 is 10 o'clock Tuesday night on BBC America. And we'll be right back on K-Rock.
This is the highly venomous, toxic coral snake. This snake could potentially kill me, would certainly send me to hospital. Lots of people talk about this feeling as if their lungs are filling up with fluid. They feel like they're drowning. And then eventually, without treatment, without anti-venom, you would succumb to a cardiac arrest.
I would have a cardiac arrest long before that point if I got bit by that snake. Dominic Monaghan is in the studio with us. The name of the show is Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. You said that you've taped 10 episodes for this season so far.
Yeah, we did 10 this season. We did 8 the first season, 10 this season.
Oh, you're already done with the whole season?
Yeah, we're all done.
And you're still alive? Okay, that's a
he
good
He looks good. Like, yeah. There's no real scars.
Silly woman.
What's the most injured you've been? Have you ever?
Yeah, I got opened up by an animal this year that I'm not really allowed to talk about because obviously we're going to tease it on the show, but I got almost 40 stitches in my arm from an animal.
Wow.
From a venomous animal.
Did that surprise you when that happened?
All those moments, I think, surprise you in your life because it's, you know, people talking about them. I mean, it wasn't like a near-death experience, but it was certainly like an acute life experience. All those moments surprise you in the moment. You're like, oh. And when I look back at the footage, the noises that I make are very strange. I don't make a kind of like, ah, it hurts noise. I make more of a kind of, ooh, like, this
like,
is
what?
Interesting.
What's wrong with you?
but, you know, the thing to keep in mind in those situations is anytime you get bitten by an animal, it's your fault. You can always take it back to a thing that you did. I can, at least, and most people that work with animals can. And I just pushed this animal. This animal had been telling me for like half an hour, I'm done, leave me alone, yeah. I'm not interested, I'm going to bite you.
Right, and that's at that point in every show you get closer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, every point in that in the show I'm kind of saying this animal is getting to a point where it's getting annoyed. You know, we don't have too much longer left. And with this particular animal, we just pushed it a little bit. And it did what wild animals do, which is they bite and they sting and they scratch and then it escaped. And so, you know, it was a great part of the show. But that's just the nature of the show. Like I said to my agent, I called my agent and told him about it, and he was like, oh, Dom, don't do that. And I said, look, if I was...
don't do that.
Don't do what? Your whole career now?
Yeah. I was like, look, if I was a ballet dancer, I'd be susceptible to broken toes and feet. You know, right. If I was a carpenter, I'd hit my thumb with a hammer a lot. I'm working with dangerous animals. There's a pretty good chance I'm going to get bitten here and there. I don't take those chances with highly venomous species, but I will do it with animals that I know are not going to kill me. And I don't want to get bit. That's not
your goal.
But if I get bit, it's usually going to be by an animal that's not going to kill me, you know. Or a girl.
So we
Friday night.
We talked about Tuesday's episode, the giant spitting cobra.
Yeah.
Can you tease any more animals? Animals that you're going to go after this season?
This season, yeah. I'll tell you a few things. Okay. Well, we go to Zambia, where I'd never been in Africa, to look for my all-time favorite snake, which is the Gaboon viper. It's the second largest viper in the world. It happens to have the largest venomous fangs of any snake in the world and can also administer more venom than any other animal in the world. It happens to be kind of a pussycat. It's a beautiful-looking snake. It's also called the butterfly viper.
Well, it has two-inch fangs?
Yeah, massive fangs. Well, it can bite right through your forearm if they want to, but they're relatively docile. I found the biggest of their kind tends to be quite docile, and the Gaboon viper is one of the biggest of its kind, second-largest viper in the world.
How does that not make your top spot? What's your top spot as far as snakes?
Top spot. I mean, the black mamba is kind of the holy grail. I mean, black mambas are great. We work with a king brown snake in Australia, which, if you know your snakes, is an extremely smart elapid. Most elapids are the smartest snakes in the world. And we were driving on the Stuart Highway, and this thing crossed the street. Massive, probably 8-9 foot snake. And as I went to grab hold of its tail, it wheeled around and said, I'm not interested in this, and then proceeded to jump at me in the scene. I've never seen a snake jump at me before.
Wow.
So it would raise up like 2/3 of its body and then jump, propel itself forward. And I was saying to my cameraman, I was like, watch out, because it's doing something that I've not seen before. And that will kill you in like half an hour. And they do a lot of very strange stuff. They latch on. They don't stop biting.
Oh, they don't let go?
They're extremely aggressive. They're very smart. So King Brown and Black Mamba are kind of the holy grails of snake. I'm really partial to King Cobra as well. I think they're pretty amazing.
Is it hard when you're in the jungle to find these snakes? Like when you're in Africa looking for them?
Yeah, it's difficult. We send out a lot of feelers on the show. So we will work with local guides. Mm-hmm. We'll work with any local herpetologist. So within, you know, once we organize where we're going to go, we'll then send out feelers. And we'll give ourselves probably a month to 6 weeks of asking people. So by the time we get to there, we're hoping that we'll find the target. We call it the target animal. But if we can't find the target animal, they said it's difficult for us to find, let's say, the Gaboon viper. We'll say, well, can you find us any other vipers? Can you find us animals that the Gaboon viper feeds on? And maybe we can get closer. So we have a lot of help. We have had moments this season where we've not found the animal that we're looking for, you know, which I won't tell you what episode. But
what about a hostile reception from the people?
Yeah, we had a couple of moments. Nothing too sketchy this year. I mean, South America last year was a little touch and go. Venezuela was kind of had a few moments.
I'm not going to vacation there now.
It was okay. It was just a bit rough. And then Guatemala had a few situations that weren't that great. And then we wanted to film in a pool hall, an outside pool hall in Kenya. And the people who were playing pool were like, you have to pay us. So I was, you know, because I'm one of the people that is lucky enough to make the decisions on the show. I was like, well, look, we'll buy you all drinks. And they were like, no, we need more than that. So I was like, all right, we'll buy you all drinks and lunch. And they were like, no, we need more than that. And we were like, well, we're not going to start dishing out cash because then it's going to get super hectic.
Right.
So they were like, well, then you can't film here. And that got a little hectic. But we just left. We were like, okay, sorry, see you later.
Good
and
enough.
If the locals tell you you can't be there, then you leave. That's just a pretty good rule anyway, you know. We went to Brazil.
Tell me about Brazil, because I'm going for the World Cup in June.
Oh, man, radical. Yeah. That's wicked. We went to Brazil, went to a place called Manaus, which is actually where England are based for all their World Cup games in the group stages. It's called the Gateway to the Amazon. So we jumped on a boat for a week. We were on a boat for a week, and we were fishing off the boat. We were jumping off the boat. We were looking for a lot of aquatic creatures. And then every so often when we would go stir crazy, we went into the jungle. I got bit by a 14 to 15 foot anaconda when I was there.
Holy cow!
On the back of my calf muscle, which was pretty crazy.
A 14 foot anaconda.
Were you looking for an anaconda?
No,
it just found you.
Yeah, we were crossing a bridge. We were looking for nothing in particular. We had spent a day in the jungle. We're actually looking for this beetle, the largest beetle in the world. It's called the Titan beetle, and super rare, really hard to find. And we were crossing this bridge, and there was an anaconda there. And I because it was in the water. They like water a lot. I put it down as maybe 10 feet or so. So if it's 10 feet, there's a pretty good chance it can jump 5 feet. But it was actually probably closer to 15 feet, which means it can jump a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I was holding its tail, and it went to bite me, and I moved out of the way. And it did this thing that pythons won't do that often, which is it did like a double bite. So it bit and then reset really quickly and bit again.
Wow.
And on the double bite, it got me on my calf. But hey, it's just being a snake.
Your fault.
Yeah, it's totally my fault. It was.
I know. Oh, I know.
I misjudged it.
This whole show is your fault.
But Brazil was great. I drank a lot of Guaraná while I was there. It's like this soda that they make there from this root, which was really tasty. Food was fantastic. Women were beautiful. People were amazing. Animals everywhere. You know, I really like Brazil. Went to Costa Rica to look for one of the world's rarest frogs. And then we did 2 episodes in Australia, first country that we've actually done 2 episodes in because it warrants it. I think it's got 9 out of the top most venomous snakes in the world, 8 out of the top most dangerous spiders in the world.
Wow.
Very cool people, brilliant country. Swam off the Barrier Reef, which was great. New Zealand for an episode.
Wow.
Japan, Thailand, Arizona.
This is just your excuse to see the entire world.
It's the best. I mean, this is how you used to vacation.
I shamelessly, you know, admit all that stuff. You know? It's fine.
Season 2 premieres this coming Tuesday, March 25th at 10 o'clock on BBC America. It's Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan. You can follow him on Twitter at Dom's Wild Things. You get people asking you questions about that?
I get people asking me questions on a daily basis. What should I do about this animal in my house? What type of bug is this? What type of spider is this? And we were just talking in the break. I always say to those people, if there's a spider in their house or something like that, I just say, look, the first thing to keep in mind is they have absolutely no concept that you exist as an animal. They don't know you're there. If you went over and breathed on them or like made vibrations, they know you're there. But they just don't. they don't have that mentality mm-hmm. to understand that there's a human close by. So ignore them. Or if they're super dangerous, like a black widow, and you don't think you can sleep at night, there are ways that you can take it outside without killing it. I genuinely believe in karma, and I think, you know, we're part of this world and there's a general balance. And I think if you go around the world just indiscriminately squishing animals, something's going to come along and indiscriminately
squish
you.
Hold on, though. Hold on for a second.
Yes.
That spider came into my house. That's in my room.
I'm
not going out after spiders.
I mean, if you want to take that concept really far back, you actually came into his house.
Okay.
Because those spiders and those animals have been living on this world a lot longer than us. I mean, everyone moans about the coyotes.
That's right.
Everyone moans about the coyotes in Los Angeles. They were here way longer than us, and we've moved into their territory, and we're like, these coyotes are really annoying. They're getting on our nerves. Well, they're just trying to live, and now there's all these houses around, and they get hit by cars, you know, so we need to give them a break.
I can't help but notice as we say goodbye, Manchester United jersey.
Yes, Manchester. I'm a huge Man U fan. I'm from Manchester. Manchester United scored a historic win in the Champions League last night. We were 2-0 down against Olympiakos in Greece. Everyone was writing us off. We needed to come
back. I read all the headlines yesterday. This is a disaster.
Yeah.
Man U's going to get bounced.
Yeah.
David Moyes is going to get fired. The whole thing.
And we won 3-0. It was a great performance. The thing about Manchester United, it's like the Yankees. It's like the Lakers. It's like these big successful teams, like the All Blacks in rugby. If they win, they're the greatest team in the world. If they lose, it's the end of the planet.
Right.
So I'm okay with getting rid of what we call the plastic fans. If people fall off, and I think we lost 500,000 followers on Facebook when we got beat by Liverpool, I'm fine with that.
Really?
If you stop supporting Manchester United because you got beat by Liverpool,
right.
You're not a real fan anyway.
Right.
You're a fan. You were born a fan. You're going to die a fan. You don't jump to a different team because they're not doing very well.
Yeah, those people annoy me as well.
Idiots.
Yeah. Lakers, by the way, you said Lakers, not this season. This season, the Lakers.
Not this season. Hey, we're building. Wait. We're building.
Building, right. Dominic, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys.
I'm not really a fan of saying I was wrong, but we're going to check with Dr. Drew coming up in the next hour about eating clay.
Well, we do make fun of what we don't know. That's what we do.
It seems like that may be, we may owe people an apology.
Yeah.
It is time for a brand new internet roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's internet roundup.
KRock.com, click on Kevin and Bean, or KevinandBean.com will work as well for the Internet Roundup, which is all of the viral videos that you will want to see. One of them is Christopher Walken, Dance Now. And it's completely visual, so I'll just play you this little clip. But what they've done is they've taken Christopher Walken from his, I don't know, it looks like 50 movies. And taking every little clip of where he's dancing in any of those movies, and then they put together this master dance mix.
I love that.
It looks like it took forever, and yeah. I don't know why anyone would do it, but I'm glad they did, because it's fascinating to watch. Who was behind the Stranger's Kiss? The first
It was a clothing company from Los Angeles, yeah.
Right. But they were all models.
They were all models, actors, so it wasn't really that awkward, you know.
So Vice put together a video. We got 20 strangers who aren't models to kiss each other. And these people, not very attractive.
No.
Gotta be honest.
So what's your name again?
Joey. What's yours?
Nazman, but everyone calls me Nazi.
I don't understand a word this woman says, by the way.
Or shorty, because I'm short.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. So, anytime?
Is that 40 seconds?
It's pretty funny to see their reactions, because some of them are not good kissers, you can tell.
And you could feel the awkwardness. Like, that's the real awkwardness that you want to feel, not like the that the other one had.
March Madness is happening, and J.J. Redick from the Clippers, put up his guide to the perfect March Madness bracket. He may be dumbing it down a little too much.
Now, a bracket is a bunch of lines that all kind of come together in the middle. Well, it's like a bunch of spiders in a pyramid on their side, or something like that. Anyway, whatever. You'll figure it out.
It's not really helpful. That was Funny or Die?
Yeah, Funny or Die. Yeah. But using his tips, I think I'm going to win the $1 billion. So,
I already got that locked, so don't even worry about it. The People's Court. I don't know if you've watched this show in a long time, but they go in the courtroom, and then when they come out, they get interviewed. And this is the interviewer who is talking to the defendant, I think. And the defendant works in D's Nuts. into his answer in a brilliant way.
I don't know. Maybe this guy was on something. Maybe D hit him. Who knows?
He was calling you the suspect in the court.
You see? You know, I don't know. You like know I said, D hit him. So it wasn't me.
Maybe. What's D?
D's nuts. This guy is crazy.
D what?
Huh? D's nuts.
He goes, Harvey? He's... sends it over to Harvey. This is a mom who's videotaping her kid as her kid face plants off of a chair because he hears the ice cream van.
Oh, no.
And she keeps filming long enough that you can hear the kid cry and her sort of go, oh, no.
The ice cream.
Oh, my God.
I don't think she realized at first that he's hurt.
Yeah, but it's also because first she's filming her other kid who's playing in the background, and he falls.
He face plants.
Yeah.
This is the cutest thing I've ever seen. My 3-year-old must argue and debate everything. It is unbelievable, this 3-year-old. He sounds like he's 30. He calls his mom by her first name. He tells her repeatedly, listen, you're not listening to me. He's 3.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Limba, honey, look at this. Limba,
you cannot have cupcakes for dinner.
Limba. He calls her Linda, and he calls her honey. Look at this. Listen.
Linda, anything you can get, anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
He's very cute. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Will It Crush is the name of this video. We talked to
Harley
from right. Epic Mealtime, who had cooked a meal on Arnold's tank, and you get a chance to go crush stuff with Arnold as well.
Finally possessed my own tank. Look at this. Bubble Rub is the most fun thing to step on, right? But think about stepping on it with a tank. I'm going to crush a copy of Million Dollar Baby because it makes me cry. I don't cry.
I think he's actually gotten funnier.
Yeah, it's in a really real funny life, video.
He's really funny. Up, yeah.
I guess a tank makes you funny, right?
Jimmy Kimmel was in Austin, Texas. And, oh no, this is when he got back, isn't
yeah,
it?
This was when he got back. When the earthquake happened.
Monday we had the earthquake. I believe it was Monday. And Jimmy does a thing called Lie Witness News. So he goes out and interviews people on the street, and he's asking them what they think about the big one, which is coming tomorrow, which, of course, is nonsense.
Right.
Because nobody knows that. Yeah. But people won't call him on it. They actually answer.
Where were you when you first heard the news that the big one is going to hit tomorrow morning?
Well, it was about 1:15. It was on the Facebook. And I heard some rabble about it, and then I checked it up, and I looked at the seismology, some of the charts that were going on, and they were saying that tomorrow.
Do you have any loved ones in the death sectors?
I do.
You do? Is there anything you'd like to say to them?
Be careful.
That's a good tip.
Death sector.
They make up the most inane things, and people will not admit that they don't know about it.
It's unbelievable.
I love in this video that a foreign couple calls them out.
They did.
Yeah, they're all like, no, that's not happening. That must be a joke or something. And the guy goes, high five, you got it, you win.
You can get that. You can get a website model involuntarily pumping up the jam. You can get the Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in Unnecessary Censorship. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Change a little drop for me.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. Ralph on the table, drums. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56. Coming up, David Koechner.
Ah, I love this man.
David Koechner talking about a movie called Cheap Thrills.
Boy, does it look disturbing.
Yep.
And I think, I haven't seen it yet, so it's hard to
I saw the first half, and the first half is
what
awesome.
What the what?
It's awesome, the first half.
I can't vouch for the end. How did you not commit to watching the rest of the movie?
I had other things to do. I didn't have the time, but I can vouch.
Stop it.
I can vouch that the first...
Your life is so full of rich experiences, but you can't spare another 45 minutes to get through the end of a movie.
I had to go on Twitter and correct people's use of daylight savings time.
No, that wasn't you. That was the other one.
Oh. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You had time to sit through all of I, Frankenstein, but you couldn't have all the time to sit through Cheap Thrills?
I'm going to go back to it today, but I'm saying all I can vouch for is the first half, which is strong. Strong. Good work.
Here's the thing about Dave Koechner, and I've known Dave a long time. He is an enormously funny guy. but he's a really good actor, too. And I think so far we've got to see him be funny in a lot of films, but this movie looks like he really gets to stretch his acting chops.
That's what I was thinking.
Like a weird, twisted, funny, but also disturbing character in this film, which is much like Koechner himself in real life. So I think finally he's getting to use his full potential.
Play himself more?
Yeah. Well, I wish I had a chance to see the film. I would have watched the whole film.
I'll get to it.
It was good. I saw half of it, not all at the same time. I skipped over stuff.
I had other things to do,
There's
man.
There's not a part of us.
I have a full life.
Driving. You don't. You watch soccer. Any man who has time to watch soccer does not have a full life. If you can carve out time for soccer.
I love it.
Remember when MIA threw up the finger during Madonna's halftime show at Super Bowl 2012?
Yes.
Is this ringing a bell?
Yeah.
Well, that is still not over yet. That's still a thing.
How's that possible?
The NFL sued her.
The NFL?
Yes. For her actions on live television. Saying that she damaged the product and they need restitution. Anyway, in this week's Hollywood Reporter, it says the NFL has added yet another lawsuit on top of that. Now, they want MIA to pay $15.1 million in restitution.
Why?
They say that's what advertisers would have paid for the 2 minutes MIA had for her segment. So they think you abused your 2 minutes in the halftime show. That was time we could have sold to an advertiser that would have been clean and wholesome. And now you owe us that money. Give us our money.
What the hell?
Her lawyers have claimed that the restitution lacks any basis in law, fact, or logic. And I think if I was on the jury, I would have to side with them. Look, yes, it was inappropriate. Yes, I can see where it may have given the NFL and the network some headaches. I get it. It's live television. Sometimes things go badly. But to make her pay $15 million in restitution?
Yeah, it's absurd.
She didn't damage anything. She didn't break the set. She didn't, you know, kick a camera over or anything. What does she have to...
Plus, none of us would have remembered that.
No.
Had it just gone away and this lawsuit not be here.
Weird stuff. This is crazy. This Frozen thing's a phenomenon. Frozen, number one album now in the country. The Frozen soundtrack.
Well, that's because of...
Adele Dazeem does great work. And the movie, which was released on DVD... this past Tuesday, when it went on sale, broke all kinds of records. It sold 3.2 million copies of the DVD. That's hardcovers.
Wow.
You don't move a lot of DVDs usually anymore. But that was huge numbers. And then it became the fastest-selling digital release of all time, according to Walt Disney.
So they were selling both at the same time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They did well in both formats. So it's crazy that this thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And good news for you, Kevin.
Yep.
Old people are coming to television.
All right.
Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin have a new series.
Well, that sounds promising.
Well, I knew you'd like it. They did a movie.
Lily Tomlin's awesome.
Together years ago called 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton. The three of them were in that film. It was very successful. So they're teaming up Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Not interested.
For a new series called Grace and Frankie. It's created by Marta Kaufman, who created Friends, by the way. So it's got a pretty good pedigree. And this is an interesting premise that it could actually be funny. There's these two older couples who know each other. The women, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, don't like each other very much.
Who gives a damn?
The fellas, the husbands, like each other a lot. In fact, so much so that they decide they're in love with each other, and they leave their wives, and they move in together and start a gay relationship.
And now it's getting interesting.
Leaving the two women... on the outs. And the women are like, what the hell just... And so they have to sort of get together and try to figure out their lives and what happened in their lives. And they sort of become begrudging friends because of this common experience that they go through.
I might have to take back my disinterest.
It's a pretty clever premise, isn't it?
That's not bad.
I think there's actually some real comic potential there. So that's going to be on Netflix.
Huh.
It's an original Netflix series. So you'll be able to watch it at will. And I think there's something to be said for this. Look, I know, Kevin, you don't like people when they get older, but Jane Fonda, brilliant actress. How good has she been on Newsroom?
Wonderful.
As the owner of the
great.
Network.
She
was
great
on that,
on that
show.
Yeah. But I don't watch it for her. But
I
she's
know,
been great.
Kevin, but look. Oh, damn
she's
it.
She's been great. I'm agreeing.
Damn it.
I'm agreeing with you.
And Lily Tomlin, who's always good. Yeah. Those two together with that premise, like an adult premise, ripe for comic.
You're talking like me. What's going on?
Ripe for comic attack.
How do you end that word?
Shut up, man. Today's celebrity birthday.
It's fun to be on the other side of that.
Yeah, I'm really tired. I've had like no sleep for 3 days in a row. It's starting to wear on me. I may go down. I've been in bed like 11 o'clock every night this week.
Yeah, it catches up.
Man, I got to get a different job.
Good times.
I can't get up this early anymore. Celebrity birthdays. Got a lot of angry emails saying, stop announcing random Clippers as celebrities. Not acceptable. One listener said, except for Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, they're not celebrities.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe the superstars only.
The problem is, Dave the King of Mexico makes this list for me. Everyone.
Right, but he can't force you to read a name.
But he can, because he just puts it there and I just read it. All you know right. me. I'm like Ron Burgundy. You put it on the teleprompter, it's coming out. There's no editing process. Ron Burgundy? Today's celebrity birthday is Spike Lee. Speaking of basketball, huge Knicks fan as well as a famous director, 57 years old today. Holly Hunter's 56. Michael Rapaport turns 54 years old. Actor Cedric Yarbrough is 41. Chester Bennington of Linkin Park is 38. Can we hear a little Chester Bennington?
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
I don't...
He sounds great.
Never sounded better.
Years
sounds,
have not been
yeah,
good to Chester.
Amazing.
38, apparently the year he lost it. Nick Wheeler of All-American Rejects is 32. And L.A. Clippers guard Jamal Crawford celebrates his 34th.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
David Koechner has joined us in the studio now. Welcome.
Here he is.
Wow, with applause. Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, it's meager applause, but it is applause.
The best we can do, brother. The best we can do.
A seated ovation.
David Koechner, of course, you know from Anchorman. He was, the star of Anchorman.
Okay. Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Champ kind, right? No? And then
I'm in it, but not the star.
And then before that was Balls of Fury?
That was it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Those two projects.
Those
one
two
day of work.
Yeah.
One day of work at Balls of Fury. Yeah.
Tell us about this new movie, because Cheap Thrills looks fantastic.
It truly is. Cheap Thrills is a sinister thriller with dark comedic undertones where sex is always in play.
Mm.
It has taken me a long time to figure
well
out
done.
What this movie is.
That sounded rehearsed, and yet I love
it.
It
is.
Well crafted.
I had to. That's my log line. Because it's,
do it again. Sorry.
Okay. It is a sinister thriller with dark comedic undertones where sex is always in play.
All right.
Yeah. So it's a movie that defies genre because it has so many things going on in it. But you can't tell people it's a comedy, because when you approach a movie like that, you have this mindset, and it's not that at all.
Right, it's not Anchorman.
No. It's a pressure cooker, and there's some thriller elements to it, and I would say some people think it's a genre film that's got some horror elements to it, but not really classic horror. I will say this. I believe, and I've been making this statement, I believe it will become one of your favorite all-time movies.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's
wow.
that intense.
It's a bold.
When we first heard you were coming in, we all sat in the office and we watched the trailer. And I recommend everyone go see the film. But first of all, watch the trailer, because it's really well done, that trailer.
Yeah.
And I think it gives you a great idea of what's to come.
What's in store,
because
yeah.
it starts off very benign, and then there's a moment in the trailer where your stomach just turns, because you get so tense and uncomfortable, and you can see where this thing is starting to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't give away much, but you definitely get the tone of this film, which is dark, but also, like, you feel bad about laughing in some of the circumstances.
But you have to.
It's compelling. It does look unlike anything I've ever seen before.
I would say it's like that. It is unlike anything I've ever done.
And it's certainly unlike anything you've ever played before.
Yes,
yeah.
that's quite true. Yeah, I get to play this.
It's funny, though, that you start out sort of like
yes,
your other characters.
Exactly.
But then,
somewhat,
not very long.
Yes, somewhat goofy,
right?
Charming, affable, and then he makes a sociopathic turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
I said is much like you in real life, I think.
Yes. Well, you know me.
This is closer to you than anything you've ever played before, I think. Very funny, but ooh, there's something going on there.
There's darkness in
don't
there.
Don't scratch the surface. You won't like what you find, I think.
It's dark, cold, and empty inside.
David Koechner is here. We need to take a quick break. Cheap Thrills is the name of the movie. It opens tomorrow in Southern California.
And it's a limited release, right? So people have to work a little bit to find this one.
Yeah.
But it's also on video on demand.
Yes. So I hope we're able to keep getting a larger and larger audience. It's going to be a great word-of-mouth film, I'm
Which
sure.
would you prefer? We'll just tell our people what to do. You want them to go to the theaters or you want them to download it on video?
The best way to see it is with a crowd.
Oh, okay.
All right, so yeah. Theater.
Get your asses out there to the theaters, people.
There you go. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Dave Koechner. David, nobody can figure that out when she talks like that, does all the traffic.
I love it. It's so smooth, and she does it. There's never a hiccup.
Right.
And
we've
incredible.
Done everything to try and throw her off. She's Ralph will walk in nude.
Yeah. She's a professional.
We
she's
throw incredible. Things. Nothing throws her off. It's crazy. David Koechner is in the studio with
us. Can I ask one question? Sure. Is the 91 the worst in Southern California?
In the world?
Well, technically, it's the 5.
5 is
the
worst?
The Golden State Freeway has now been rated the worst.
Yeah.
But the 91 is horrible.
You hear it every morning.
The 405
every
morning. Is horrible, too.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
The way.
And the 5. Yeah.
You know, well, all that bad. Could be avoided if people would stop carrying ladders.
That's true.
Ladders are
ladder.
Ladders and mattresses.
Leave your goddamn ladders at home, people, and we'll all get to work on time.
Always a ladder.
It's always a ladder.
Yep.
When you and I create the pocket ladder, which we're working on.
We have been working on
You've been
for
working
some
on
time.
That?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Yeah.
Then the traffic will finally run smoothly on the 5.
Revolutionize the world as we know it.
We were talking during the commercials about how up-to-date David Koechner is on all of his television.
He really.
We're talking about how much of a pain in the ass kids are, and how it just bites into your energy. Movie and TV time, which is not. No one warned me about that.
No.
They didn't say. They said, "Oh, parenting's going to be hard, and you have to raise them and love them." They give you all that stuff. They never say, "Oh, you'll never see another."
Oh,
movie
and by the
or
way,
TV
give up
show.
On movies.
Yeah, you'll have no relevance in pop culture whatsoever.
What's the last TV show you watched, David?
Probably some murder show my wife watches right before. No, a murder show. Murder She Wrote would be great. Big fan. Angie Lansbury. Wow, that gal.
Uh-huh.
Still hot.
Does she like the live murders, like the documentary murder stuff?
Any of those, murder shows, whodunits, and they keep teasing forever, and then they're an hour long, so the segments are only 5 minutes long, and there's 2 minutes of commercial. And you're like, please, and then they tease it back.
You think she's doing some research?
I think so.
Yeah.
I taste a little antifreeze. Antifreeze in my coffee.
Is that right?
But the sad thing is, I kind of like it.
Yeah, it is tasty.
What's wrong with my coffee? Did you not put antifreeze in this morning?
Is hazelnut? All right. So your character in Cheap Thrills.
Yes.
You have unlimited wealth, it seems.
Yes.
You're pulling money out every
Again,
5 seconds.
Again, much like the real Dave Koechner.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Right.
Describe your character to people.
Colin is a bit of a sociopath like that. He starts out charming and affable and charismatic, just a fun, goofy party guy. But he's got tons of wealth, and I think he probably was one of these, a capitalist and entrepreneur that just takes a company, leverages it, and then bails out, takes a golden parachute, sells it off, whatever it takes. He doesn't have care for other people. He's no moral compass.
And then pays the world to do pranks and do embarrassing stuff.
So, yeah, he's gotten himself in a situation. He and his wife, a younger wife, played by Sarah Paxton, who's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
He will do anything for her, and he's in love with her. And so she wants a night of fun, and their kind of fun is getting people to do little dares for money. So we meet Pat Healy and Ethan Embry's characters in a bar, and they're down on their luck. So we get them to do little innocuous, benign things like, hey, who will do a shot for $50? Who can get a person to slap them for $200? Hey, let's go back to my place. Mm-hmm. And then from there, the games get more and more sinister.
Yeah, that's when I started sweating. I said, hey, let's go back to my place. I could feel the beads of sweat forming on my forehead as I was watching the trailer. I said, do not go back to his place. What's wrong with you?
But there's drugs in play, and there's a beautiful woman, and she's kind of, furtive and flirtive, and it's like, what's going on? And it's all ethereal, and so it's very intriguing.
And again, just from judging from the trailer, it seems like Pat and Ethan's character also gets sort of an adrenaline pump rush. They get caught up in the momentum of the money and the thrills and they're having cocktails and they're not in their right head, and it just seems to escalate and it's sort of out of control before they even realize what's going on.
And Pat Healy's character, Craig, really needs the money. He just got an eviction notice. He's got a wife and a newborn.
He lost his job
that day. He's got an eviction notice. He's $5,000 in the hole and he has no way of getting it. Now there's drinking, there's drugs, there's all kinds of enticements. So it's like, I just need the money so badly. And that's the interesting thing about this movie, watching it with an audience. They make that agreement with him. Like, yeah, I guess you need that money. I would too.
Yeah.
How far? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And then you realize how much money there is on the table. And you're like, it could change your life. So it's really interesting to watch the audience make that decision with the players in the film. And that's where this laughter comes from, all these awkward moments. Because I think it's such a pressure cooker and people get drawn in so deeply, they have to laugh to remind themselves that they're not in this game and they wouldn't really do any of that stuff.
It's not me.
It's phenomenal. When we shot this film, and it was incredible. It was an independent film, really low budget. We shot it in 14 days here in Los Angeles. Wow. And it was during a heat wave in September.
Oh, man.
In a house with no air conditioning.
Oh, man.
It was crazy. But
that kind of adds to the
it really did.
To the atmosphere.
I thought later, yep, it had to be made that way. And it made it. It feels like a play every day. I was like, "Wow, this is such an incredible experience." These are all such great actors: Sarah Paxton, Pat Healy, Ethan Embry. You're just drawn in as an actor, and so it was like not having to do anything but just be there with them. And it was really intense. And I didn't know there were any laughs in this movie. I swear, I knew there was one. And to hear people laugh, the first time I saw it with an audience, I was a bit confused. I'm like, "What were they? What?"
Really? You didn't expect the laughter to be at that point?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, and I said this before, I think this will be one of your favorite movies of all time. I don't know if it's going to make your top 10, but it's going to be in your top 20 for sure. It's incredible.
I'm sorry.
I have a little clip, but go ahead.
I'm fascinated by the process of the independent film world. How did you get involved in this film, and how did it come about? Because it's so hard to get a movie made, and you're a guy who... You know, is a star. You work in big projects and stuff. I wonder how they get guys like you.
You sit on a throne and they bring you scripts.
It's not like
that
at all.
You have them killed.
Everyone thinks also that I've got all these choices. There are only really 10 people that can get a movie made in Los Angeles.
But I work all the time.
Yes, because I have 5 kids and I have to work all the time.
And you don't want to be like this guy and take dares and bars to make your money.
Right. Yeah. But so I got the script, my agent sent the script, and I met with the director and producer, E.L. Katz, and Travis Stevens, and I loved the script. It's a great page turn. It's one of those rare scripts where you don't have to forgive any scene. You're like, okay, I understand why they put that in. You're like, I'm in every page, and then you're done. You're like, wow, this is fantastic, and have an opportunity to do something completely different from anything I'd ever done before. Was a great opportunity. Right. So,
were you an unusual choice for them?
I don't know. E.L. Katz says I was among his first choices.
Really?
So,
of course he did. He has to say that.
Yeah.
Well,
he's just being nice.
You've never played a role like this, though.
No. But so, I understand why I was the choice, because at first...
You weren't a backup choice?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Although, I think this character is closer to what a lot of the stuff would you do online. I mean, if you haven't watched Dave's videos online, you're missing out. His character stuff that he does with his short films on the internet, just brilliant, brilliant stuff. And there's... I can see some of that sort of... not sociopathic, but just out of sync from the rest of society quality that you have in some of your characters.
I love that quality in people, because we all have that. There's always a part of us, everybody on this planet, I think, that's a little bit dark and twisted, and you don't understand that part of yourself. And
sometimes
sometimes you're in denial, but that makes you who you are. It's your internal suffering, and I like to bring that to the surface and go, look at us. Yeah. Look at the pain we're all in. We find different ways of hiding it, I think.
Yeah,
and that's what I find fun and interesting.
Oh, I can't believe we're already out of time.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
We're out of time.
God damn it.
David,
why do you ruin everything, Kevin?
Wasting all time out in front getting high or whatever he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. The name of the movie is Cheap Thrills. It premieres in Los Angeles tomorrow at the Cine Family Theater on Fairfax. And you can also get it on video on demand.
Right. And it might be playing. There was a showing last night. It was sold out. And I think it might be playing again tonight. So go check it out. Go to online. Check out Cheap Thrills. Find it in a theater near you.
Top 10 or
online.
David will give you your money back.
Yeah.
I tell you, watch the trailer, and I defy you not to be compelled to say, I really want to see this
movie. I think it's 100% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
It might be at 98. There's one guy who just, you know, the someone's got to be out there. His dissenter's a, a D-bag. But otherwise,
I find anything above 45 is fine for me.
Yeah. There was one guy that, I forget where who he's from, but who he's from. His mother is who he's from.
Usually,
but
yeah.
he rarely gives a perfect, and he said he was trying not to, and he didn't want to give it a perfect. That's his rating.
Right.
Perfect or good or bad or something. But he said he battled against it. He argued with himself. In the end, he gave it a perfect.
Wow.
Because he couldn't find
the movie beat
find
on the flaw.
Reason. Exactly.
That's sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Cheap Trills. Cheap Trills. You got to have your Cheap Trills.
The name of it is Cheap Thrills for those of you that
for those who don't speak Kechner.
Dave, thanks for coming in. We always have a good
Thank
time.
Thank you.
We now go to the airport where Dr. Drew is getting a full cavity search. Hello, Drew.
Which seems to be the practice every time they show up, call me by name and then put on the gloves. Phenomenal.
Take you to a back room and just let it go.
It's very weird. It's very strange. But really what I'm doing is I'm trying to avoid TMZ. I'm over here in a corner. Sorry, I'm on the street listening to the overhead announcement that the white zone is for the immediate loading and unloading of passengers only.
Okay, good tip.
But it's all good. It's all good. So what's going on?
Well, we wanted to talk to you because we were talking about weird beauty tips. We had seen this article about Shailene Woodley and how you're supposed to eat clay. And that's helpful.
Of course. Lisa May has been doing that for years, right?
I haven't, but I've read a lot online about it now, and it doesn't sound insane.
So we mocked it, like we do, anything we don't understand. And then a lot of people emailed us and said, wait a minute, there's something to it, and I'm not sure I'm on board.
Kevin, please continue to mock. Please,
okay.
Please. What's happened to your judgment? My God, you've gotten soft in your old age.
So eat clay is dumb. That's what I think.
All right, so the article, so her practices are twofold. One is she advocates oil pulling. And if you really, which is sort of swishing around various sort of in sundry oils that have been advocated, to do what? It's not really clear. Pull
plaque,
toxins
Doc.
Out of your gum. What's that?
Plaque responds to oil. That's why she brushes her teeth with it.
And God knows we need better dental hygiene in this country. The practices, you know, I mean, the fact is, look, your dentist will tell you precisely what you need for your proper dental hygiene. There is some evidence that the oil, certain oils, may affect certain bacteria that are associated with dental cavities. So if you lived in an impoverished area where there was no access to dental care, there might be some rationale to this. But the idea that you're pulling something, bizarre and non-scientific.
All right, so clay, no. Oil?
No, that was oil. That was oil. Clay is more bizarre. I my dog goes out in the yard and eats rocks and clay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, is that necessarily the practice we want to follow? He also craps in the lawn. where are we going with
this? Well, I already knew that.
By the way, he's had to have operations to remove the rocks from his stomach for having done so. So we're really and then they point at the practices, people that advocate this nonsense, point at the fact that pregnant women eat clay and soap and ashes. And that's called pica syndrome. It's a syndrome that is historically sort of medically associated with iron deficiency. And women have, when they're pregnant, have massive iron demand. And so they have this sort of natural desire to do this thing, eating dirt, eating clay, even though don't worry about it. We can get them satisfactorily repleted with iron supplements.
Right.
You don't have to resort to eating clay. And so, you know, yes, we have this mechanism in us for an extraordinarily impoverished situation as a last-ditch effort to sort of restore our body and preserve the fetus. But for goodness sake, the only thing I could find that there might have been slightly some possible benefit, there's something called kaolinite in dirt, which is something related to what's in kaopectate. So in some clay, maybe you can treat your diarrhea with that, but if you're not walking around with diarrhea every day, I'm not so sure that's a great idea.
Dr. Drew's at the airport. That's why there's a lot of noise behind him. Clay, no. Oil, no. We took some calls earlier today. What about urine facial?
Urine facial?
Yep.
Well, that sounds like a Loveland call now.
It does,
we took
weird beauty tips this morning, earlier.
Well, but I got to tell you, Mike Catherwood, of course, you know I work with on Loveland, and he straightened me out last night. I was complaining about this, and I was saying, oh, my God, I'm so tired of toxins. I'm tired of toxins. Anytime somebody tells you that they're removing toxins ask them, just please write down the chemical formula of said toxin, and then give me the just the basic stoichiometry of how that toxin chemically is removed from the body. And, of course, no one knows anything because there's no such thing.
Yes, I've always wondered about that.
Yeah, just write the chemical formula of toxin. Not even the structure, just the chemical formula.
All right, so eat clay, no. Brush your teeth with oil, no.
Hold on. Mike straightened me out. He goes, look. He goes, you know, Shailene Woodley, at least, you know, she's beautiful, successful. She's not smoking crack, Drew. Relax, dude. You'd be happy that she's not becoming one of your patients. I thought, well, good point.
Right, but she's beautiful, and that's she hit the DNA lottery. That's not I brush my teeth with oil.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and one last thing. We did have a call earlier this morning from a K-Rock listener who says that if you want really nice pink nipples, that you should use duct tape on them. Would you recommend that?
Well, you always put me in the most wonderful position. I think if said erythema is likely to develop, the trick is to tear the tape off quickly, and then, yes, you'll get erythema and pain.
All right, so no oil, no clay, but yes on tape.
Do the tape.
Oh, God.
Have a good trip, Dr. Drew. We appreciate your time.
Okay, see
you. Dr. Drew, you can follow him on Twitter, at Dr. Drew. He's also on Loveline on K-Rock. He's Dr. Drew on call on HLN, and he's got a bunch of podcasts, too, as well. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Song just makes you want to order bottle service. Give me a table down front.
Spend $250 bucks on
shaking my ass, man.
It is 8:56. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, and we have Seth MacFarlane coming up just after the top of the hour. So
my other boss.
Listening for that. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Here's me.
Okay.
Giving you things. That's all you need to know. I have, I've been raving about it all week long, about the PaleyFest 2014. PaleyFest is an event each and every year where the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television Radio, they get together and they bring the cast and creative teams of your favorite shows to you live at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood and Highland. And you get to hear the behind-the-scenes stories of how the show works and how it was put together. You get to hear the cast talk about their experiences, the creators. And then you, the audience, get to ask a Q&A. It's a fascinating evening if you're a TV fan, especially when it's one of your favorite shows. And I know this show is a favorite of a lot of our listeners. It's called Community.
Ah.
Over there on NBC, starring our good buddy Joel McHale. What a lovely and talented cast they have there. And if you'd like to spend the evening with the gang from Community, I've got a pair of tickets right now, 1-800-520-1067, to spend an evening with Community. March 26th is the date, so make sure you can go before you call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take caller number 10. Caller number 10. We'll win those tickets, just to make it fair. The Paley Fest goes on all the way through the end of the month, the 28th. So go to paleycenter.org if you want to see the rest of the lineup and see what's still available ticket-wise. Not much is, because these things sell out each and every year. But it's a cool event. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Steven Spielberg can do anything he wants.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you have that kind of power, it leads to bad decision-making.
What has he done now?
Well, the rumor is, and this seems to be based in some fact, at least coming from people who claim to be close to the topic, Spielberg has decided he wants to remake the classic musical West Side Story, do a new movie of West Side Story.
Okay.
That original film, 1961, it's a long time ago when that movie was made, is considered a classic. By a lot of people.
Like one of the best musical movies in a long time?
Ever.
Forever?
Ever. Yeah. It received 10 Academy Awards.
Wow.
Including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Music. The play itself, West Side Story, is sort of a time capsule of that era. It was about, it's Romeo and Juliet, set to music, set in, at the time, was modern day America, and it was a battle between a white gang in New York City and a Puerto Rican gang in New York City, the Sharks and the Jets, and one member of each of those sides, Maria and Tony, they fall in love and causes problems for their respective gangs. And it was, at the time, groundbreaking, even on Broadway. It opened in the late 50s, and it sort of represented what was happening in New York at the time, and the film was made shortly thereafter, so it's of a period of time.
Right.
It feels very genuine. If you were going to remake that movie, I guess you'd have to update it. You'd have to make it modern-day New York. And I think you're just setting yourself up to be compared to one of the great movie musicals of all time. And I understand why you would want to make a musical, because they're very popular now. You know, Les Mis did very well, and Mamma Mia was a big hit as a movie. So I understand why he's interested in doing a musical.
Plus, there's a whole generation of people who haven't seen West Side Story ever.
Right. That's so true.
You know?
But I think if you're one of those people and you want to see West Side Story, the best way to see it would be from the time period that it was inspired by, you know?
Sure.
I don't know. I just think you're setting yourself up for, not disaster, but certainly people are gonna, disaster. If you're going to remake one of the greatest films ever, you're going to ask for some comparisons, which you may fall short of. So, look. It's Spielberg, obviously. As I mentioned, he can do whatever he wants, but I just think it's an odd choice, considering also there's a ton of musicals on Broadway that have never been made into a movie. Maybe you take one of those, and you put your own stamp on it, and you make a modern classic.
What if he gets, like, Will Smith's kid or something?
Now we're talking. Right? I didn't even think about that.
Right.
But yes, if Willow Smith plays Maria, and have Jaden play Tony while we're at it. Let's just go the full boat. And instead of singing, have him rap.
Good.
Maria, I just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same again. Yeah, yeah. Now I like it. God damn it.
That's not a good idea.
I want to remake West Side Story, only with Adam West and Kanye West. West Side Story. Like, okay. I want to live in America. Come on. You wouldn't pay money to see that?
I would. He'd be yelling about getting some damn croissants.
That's right. Miley Cyrus's tour bus caught on fire Tuesday morning. She was heading to New Orleans, and her tour bus caught on fire. No one was injured. They say it could have been caused by a tire that exploded.
That's
one hell of an exploding tire if it burst into flames.
No kidding.
The bus was carrying Miley's mom and her younger sister, Noah, who tweeted, yes, everyone got out safe. No one is injured whatsoever. Everything is okay. People on the scene reported that Miley put the flames out by twerking them out.
Yeah,
she rubbed her ass on the flaming bus until the flames went out. And I think we finally found a use.
That's some aggressive twerking.
Charlie Sheen, he showed up at his daughter's career day to talk to her young class about being a TV star. People who witnessed the speech say it was interesting, but perhaps lost on the audience since no one had any idea who he was.
Yeah, look, I can see that.
They're little kids.
Yeah.
They don't know from Two and a Half Men or Anger Management. If he had been one of the Yo Gabba Gabbas, he would have been
mobbed.
Warmly received, I'm sure. But apparently he was kind of lost on those people, so that's strange. And Steve-O of Jackass fame, up to his old tricks again, did a backflip off of the Commerce Street Bridge in San Antonio, Texas, into just 4 feet of water. There was no concern when Steve-O announced he was clean and sober that he was going to lose his edge, because he certainly has retained it.
Yes, he has.
That's him. It wasn't the drugs. That's just him.
That's his thinking, balls. Yeah.
Apparently, the cops are after him. They say that was illegal to do. Steve's responding by saying there was no sign saying you couldn't do a backflip off this bridge.
Well,
and that's very irresponsible of them to not post that. I guess they didn't take that into consideration. No backflips off the bridge, please. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Spike Lee, director, 57 years old today. Actress Holly Hunter is 56. Chester Bennington of Linkin Park is 38 years old. Jamal Crawford from the L.A. Clippers. Now I'm getting a bunch of emails saying Clippers are celebrities and we should give them a birthday.
Well, then Lakers as well. Sorry.
Got to do both.
The Laker era is over.
Thank you, Dave.
Wow, Dave. 30. He's a sore winner, Dave.
This has been waiting a long time.
He's 34. Nick Wheeler of the All-American Rejects is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time to welcome Seth MacFarlane back to the show. Hey, Seth.
How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Seth, I want to read from GQ, if you don't mind, the first line. If you didn't know I was involved, you wouldn't know I was involved, insists fart joke genius Seth MacFarlane.
Nice.
Nothing like one man reading aloud from GQ to another man.
It is kind of romantic. All we're missing is a candlelight and some warmed massage oil. Seth, it's true, though. I mean, Cosmos, at first blush, doesn't seem like the kind of project that you would necessarily be involved in. But I know this show means a lot to you, and the original did as well, right?
Yeah, I've seen the original a dozen times, and it just
it captivates me every time. When this came my way through Neil deGrasse Tyson, I couldn't say no. I had to be involved, and the only way that I could really be helpful to something like this, if I'm not a scientist, is in a distribution sense. I could maybe help to get some more eyeballs on it. So I took him to Fox, and Fox liked the idea of doing something like this, and it's been paying off. The show's been doing great.
Did they like the idea of doing something like this, or did they like the fact that you are so successful with them?
believe it or not, under another regime, I would question it, but but the folks who are there now are it's Kevin Riley, who came from NBC and did The Office and 30 Rock. You know, it's Peter Rice, who came from Fox Searchlight, did Slumdog Millionaire. They're guys that kind of think outside the box anyway, and so they kind of dug the fact that this was not something that another network would do.
A lot of people forget that at its first incarnation, Cosmos with Carl Sagan was sort of a phenomenon. It was on PBS at the time, and it was a huge hit, and everyone talked about it, and Johnny Carson would do a Carl Sagan impression. And
oh, yeah.
It was something that reached the masses in a way that very few educational, for lack of a better word, educational programs do. And I think this has that same quality, Seth. I think it's fascinating. And it teaches you something, but in a way that you don't feel like you're being taught, you know?
Yeah. It's like watching a really cool episode of Star Trek that will actually also make you much smarter than all your friends at the cocktail party the next day. The original Cosmos has been seen by something like 700 million people around the world. I mean, it was huge, and it was because it was designed as this show is designed. To entertain, it's designed to appeal to people who may or may not have any previous interest in science and who will want to watch just because it's a spectacle.
I don't have a lot of interest in science, and yet the fact that you're involved with it makes me think that I would like it.
I think you'd dig it. It speaks to a curiosity that whether you're interested in science or not, we're all curious about. What the hell's, past the next, what the hell's over the next rock in the stream when it comes to the universe?
And I think words like science and stuff just scares people off and makes them think of eighth grade. But, science ends up being just our lives and what we do every day and the dog that we come home to. And it's just, you are surrounded by it at all times. And I think that's what this show addresses well.
Yeah. I mean, it's Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. That's what it is.
Right. It is just the big picture on television.
It's on 9 p.m. on Fox on Sundays. Tell me, I thought at first it was a movie. I didn't understand. It's a 13-episode series?
Yeah, it's just like the original. It's a 13-episode run. It's a big budget spectacle that also makes you smarter and hopefully answers some questions that we all have. It runs 13 weeks right after Family Guy, we're just trying to keep eyeballs on it because it's been thus far for a science show to do what this thing has done on a network has been huge. I mean, it's really it's up against stiff competition on that time slot, and it's just done great. So we're just trying to keep the momentum.
Although you did have it on 14 networks at the same time,
that is true.
That's a little bit of a cheat.
Yes.
I couldn't avoid it. I tried to get away from the first episode, Seth. I just couldn't.
Yeah, it was. They even revived the Ha Network.
That's right. I heard you're getting an ACE Award. They're bringing those back as well.
That's right. Oh, yeah. It's really going to be something.
And I think I think Neil has a lot to do with how great the show is because he is just a natural. I mean, he's a fascinating guy, and he's just so sort of charming and interesting. You can't help but listen to him.
Yeah, well, the cool thing about Neil is that, it's not like you have an actor narrating the show who's just reading off a cue card. You know, if you approach Neil on the street, you can ask him about any of this stuff, and he's an astrophysicist, so he can walk the walk as well. And he's one of the most, whenever I sit down to lunch with a guy, I feel like I'm 5 years old. Like, I can ask him anything, and he's one of the world's greatest and most entertaining
teachers right now. You know, you can ask him about time travel. You can ask him about the multiverse theory. You can ask him about all these things, and he'll give you real answers that are based in science. And,
see, I wouldn't even know the questions to ask him.
Right.
Well, that's where he and again, that's where Cosmos comes in. It's like that's one of the things we try to do is Annie Druyan does so well in her writing. Annie, who was married to Carl, obviously, and who wrote the original Cosmos with Carl.
Right.
She's very good at presenting the show in exactly that context. If you don't know that you were curious about this, but when you hear it, you say, "Oh my God, yeah, that's right. Jeez, that is why have I not heard about this? This is amazing."
Yeah. Cosmos, a space-time odyssey, airs Sundays at 9 p.m. on Fox, right after Family Guy.
I just hope you work some more religion and God into it. I find that sorely missing from this program, Seth.
There's no
Noah's Ark story so far. I haven't seen any of like, the really good things that, you know, that make us believe.
Yeah, the amazing thing is that there's no politics, there's no religion in the show, but science has become so politicized for nonsensical reasons that you know it's made a few waves where it doesn't need to.
Yeah.
But you know it's all it's had to do is say, look, here's what we know. Here is where the frontiers of science are at this point in time, and it's just going to blow your mind.
That's funny. As you grow up, you start thinking you know everything, and then as you grow older, you start to realize how little you really know of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and we know a lot. We know.
You know a lot. Neil knows a lot. Neil knows a lot.
Yes, as a species, we know to a staggering degree a lot more than we did 100 years ago, and it's that's one of the things that the show kind of points out is that for tens of thousands of years we kind of not stagnated, but we were relatively ignorant of so many things, and then only in the last few hundred years when science was really came into its adulthood, our knowledge has just quadrupled in a very short amount of time. So it's a very powerful tool, and the show helps to present that in an entertaining way.
Well, Seth, I'll watch the show, but do not ask me to follow a big band next or whatever it is you're into. All right.
No.
You got me for Family Guy. You got me for Cosmos.
I won't ask you to get into jazz.
Thank you.
I won't ask you to try ecstasy. You know,
because I'm stretching enough. That's all I got in me, man.
Fox, I won't ask you to get a cat. You know, none of the stuff.
Okay, good.
Fox is changing his name to just Seth's Hobbies.
Seth MacFarlane, we appreciate you coming on the show always.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44. Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat.
World just got a little bit better. Just got a little bit nicer today. A little bit kinder. Air smells a little bit sweeter. It's not just because Beer Mug's not here.
Although that's a big factor.
That is a big factor, especially when it comes to the sweeter smelling air part.
Right.
But I'm happy to report that Fred Phelps, founder of the Westboro Baptist Church, is dead.
Awesome.
I rarely revel in the news of someone's death, even if I don't like them. But this guy was evil.
Yeah. He's the guy that used to picket funerals of...
He would picket military funerals.
Yep.
Funerals of children. Funerals of homosexuals.
Blamed everything on homosexuality, I think.
Oh, it's just those anti-gay sentiments were repugnant on so many levels.
And I think the world's a better place.
Thank God for dead soldiers. He would march outside military funerals with signs like that. Thank God for 9/11. It was just... horrible. And they were a small bunch of weasels that they're just insignificant, but they were a thorn in the side of right-thinking people everywhere. And now their leader, Fred Phelps, the founder of that church, is dead.
Now, I understand that he actually he was thrown out of the church maybe a year ago because he had renounced those beliefs, but the church is still there and still doing their thing. And I think his two daughters are out as well and are now speaking and apologizing.
They didn't do that soon enough for me.
I agree.
Yeah,
sorry.
He
totally
founded
agree.
It, so I don't care. Yeah. I don't believe that anymore. Maybe he literally found Jesus at the end of his life or whatever. Maybe he saw the error of his ways. And God and Jesus, whatever you believe in, you know, there's forgiveness for him in the afterworld. Well, then so be it. But it's not my place, and I'm happy that he's no longer here doing what he does. And then, you know, the rest of them can follow suit. Anybody, anyone carrying one of those signs, they can go right to hell right with them. So that's good news. That's something you can take with you this morning.
Yeah. I like it.
Put a little pep in your step on the way to work. This, though, will make you sad. Olympic figure skater Johnny Ware and his husband have broken up.
Aww.
Is that from this past Olympics?
Yeah, Johnny Ware was the colorful commentator for skating. He was an Olympic skater himself.
Okay.
He was the commentator this go-around. You know, with the big hair and the flamboyant outfits and everything, he was a big star of the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't...
Come on, Kevin, you watched. I didn't watch the Olympics. I know who Johnny Ware is.
All right. He's an ice skater, though. I didn't generally watch the ice skating.
He was, but now he's a commentator. He was part of the broadcast team.
All right.
Come on, Kevin.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, he and his husband Victor are calling it quits. They were married at a civil ceremony in New York in 2011 on New Year's Eve. He tweets, "With great sadness that I announce that my husband and I are no longer together. My heart hurts, and I wish him well." Not.
He didn't put not. Although I have seen that recently. Mm-hmm. Seems to be making some kind of a little comeback.
Yeah.
I'd like to stop that right now.
Come on. Not is great. I'm surprised at this. I'm surprised I didn't know this, I guess, is what I'm saying. Starbucks has announced they're extending their after evening's menu, after 4 p.m. menu, which includes alcohol.
What?
To thousands of stores nationwide. You know Starbucks served alcohol after 4 p.m.? I didn't either. I want to start going to Starbucks and get loaded.
But wait, they're quitting?
Sit there with my laptop and write a screenplay and just get juiced with the rest of the wannabes. LA Times says the evening's menu is already in about 25 stores in big cities, including here in Los Angeles. But now they're going to include it in stores throughout the U.S.
Who knew?
You can get a buzz on it at Starbucks. You know what you do? You get a big coffee and a big booze and just even out. I just chase that all day long. You get a lamp, you get a little relaxed, and just keep going.
Thank God there's another place we could drink.
That's right. By the way, Starbucks has announced that they are selling a new chai tea named after Oprah Winfrey. It won't actually be Oprah Winfrey. You have to order a chai tea, fat and dark. So, in essence, same
thing.
I'm
so fat.
Starbucks has asked they're going to do for tea what they did for coffee. Make it so expensive, only Oprah can afford it.
Maybe Oprah is a new size, too. That's bigger than venti, do they?
Oh, venti, grande, Oprah. Bring out just an industrial drum full of tea. Saturday Night Live's returning with new episodes on March the 29th. They've announced who will be hosting and who their musical guests will be. Louis C.K. will host on the 29th.
All right.
I don't watch the show regularly, but I would actually tune in for Louis C.K.
Same.
On April 5th, Pitch Perfect star Anna Kendrick will be the host.
All right.
And Pharrell will be the musical guest.
What about the hat?
I wonder if he'll wear the hat or not. And on April 12th, it's Seth Rogen. And British singer Ed Sheeran will be the musical guest. So a pretty good lineup. Again, I don't watch that show, but I might tune in. And since we're talking about NBC, they've announced they renewed three of their shows for next year. Chicago Fire and Chicago PD are on that list. To be followed by Chicago EMTs, Chicago Postal Service, Chicago Meter Maids, and Chicago...
Librarians.
Late night security guard who couldn't pass the entrance exam for the police department. SVU. Grimm is coming back. Blacklist, Parks and Recreation, The Voice, and Celebrity Apprentice.
It's a pretty good lineup.
Except for that Celebrity Apprentice.
Except for the last one.
And while we're talking about The Voice, Coldplay leader Chris Martin is going to join The Voice as a universal advisor for all four coaches. You know, the coaches have to take their teams of singers and they compete against each other. Chris will work with all four of the coaches and all of their talent. And then the singers that are left in the competition will do a same song in a sudden death match.
They'll sing a song that was bad, and then they'll turn around and do it again immediately?
No. The competitors will come out and sing a song, and then another competitor will come out and sing the same song. And whoever sings that, instead of, you know, which I always thought was BS about American Idols, like someone would sing a great song, and do okay version, and then someone else would sing really well, but it was a crappy song that no one liked, and so invariably the good song would move ahead.
Yeah, that makes
this
sense.
This is comparing apples to apples here. They'll both sing the same song in a death match, meaning they'll have like shields and tridents and swords and stuff, a 2x4 with a rusty nail in it.
Snipers in the rafters.
While they sing, they will battle each other to the death, and whoever survives will move on, and then Carson Daly sleeps with them.
Wow. Yeah. I like your version.
I'm going to watch that.
I told you. The voice is great. Check. They've really updated. They've made some positive changes. I think it's going to be good. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Since I had to plug the Clippers.
Yep.
I also want to mention that Miss Huntington Beach from 2003, her birthday's today as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Lynette Bartlemaine. Miss Huntington Beach, 2003. She's celebrating her birthday today. She turns 30 today.
All right.
Yeah. I'm just going to start putting random
just
people
random
in.
Just random names. People.
I'd rather talk about Miss Huntington Beach 2003 than any of the L.A. Clippers.
Well, it's Dave puts the list together.
I know. It frustrates me. Because I get my way. I'm working through the celebrity birthday list, and boom. There's Jamal Crawford's name.
You have a marker you can put in.
But it just comes right out of my mouth.
All right.
34 years old today. Nick Wheeler of the All-American Rejects is 32. Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. He is 38. Do we have any of Chester singing? I'd love to tribute him.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Wow. Age is not kind to him.
Mm. I made a poor choice. Actor Michael Rappaport is 44 years old. Holly Hunter is 56. And director Spike Lee, a Knicks fan for his whole life, got to be rejoicing this week.
Yeah,
now that Phil Jackson has joined the front office. Yeah. He's 57 years old today. You know, a lot of people saying Phil should have been working for the Lakers, should have been tied in the Lakers somehow.
Yeah.
But he started his career as a Knick. He was a longtime Knick as a player.
Was he as a player?
Yeah. That's who he played for.
Who knew?
Then went out to the Bulls, of course, and then the Lakers. So he's got connections with a lot of different teams. So it's not ridiculous that he would work for the Knicks.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we got a movie beat because it is Friday. We have Matt Walsh in the studio. We have Omar Epps in the studio.
Wow.
What the what?
Talking about Resurrection.
Cool.
And we have writer-director-actor Kevin Smith in the studio as well.
I do not like that guy.
And your tickets for Coachella.